Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Тексты прозвучат 2 раза. После каждого прослушивания текстов у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только 1 раз. В задании есть 1 лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
I know many people love Christmas, but my favorite holiday is New Year. For me, it is a very important period when you can give a fresh start to everything in your life. As for me, I always throw away old and unnecessary things on the 31st of December. I know people in many countries do it. The Japanese, for instance, clean their house from top to bottom before New Year comes. It is important to leave the past behind, and getting rid of clutter helps.
Speaker B.
As for me, I don't like New Year much. I think that people are very naive if they think they can change their lives at a certain midnight. There is no magic about it. Just another midnight. That's it. I find it strange that people make all these New Year resolutions and promise themselves to start going to the gym or eat healthy food or learn Chinese. If you really want to do something, you should just go ahead. Why wait for a certain time of the year to do it?
Speaker C.
I think there are few holidays and celebrations which have such deep roots as New Year. In some countries, the traditions of celebrating New Year are not very old. But most European countries have been celebrating it for a long time indeed. I particularly like the story about how people started decorating fir trees. It's interesting that they used to be decorated with apples and sweets, but now we have beautiful ornaments made of glass.
Speaker D.
I have a pen friend in Russia, and she told me that New Year is the most important celebration in their culture. This is predominantly a family holiday. The whole family gathers together and enjoys good food while catching up on each other's news. They may play board games or sing songs or even go for a walk if weather permits. I think it's a wonderful tradition to spend this night with your nearest and dearest and being so close to them.
Speaker E.
For me, Christmas is a family occasion, whereas New Year is just a time to do crazy things. Last year, I went to Lake Baikal and spent New Year with my friends, who are divers. We took a fir tree underwater and put some tinsel on our diving suits. That was amazing. This year, I'm going to be in Brazil for New Year. I'm going to dance on a Brazilian beach in a colorful long dress, and then throw flower petals into the water. This will be truly unforgettable.
Speaker F.
I think it is very important to do everything right when you're getting ready to celebrate New Year. As for me, I always try to find out exactly what food you need to cook or what color dress is recommended to wear to celebrate New Year. I think it's important to clean your house and decorate it, and be in a very good mood on the 31st of December. Otherwise, the coming year may not turn out as lucky as you want it to be, and that's what I'm afraid of.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
I know many people love Christmas, but my favorite holiday is New Year. For me, it is a very important period when you can give a fresh start to everything in your life. As for me, I always throw away old and unnecessary things on the 31st of December. I know people in many countries do it. The Japanese, for instance, clean their house from top to bottom before New Year comes. It is important to leave the past behind, and getting rid of clutter helps.
Speaker B.
As for me, I don't like New Year much. I think that people are very naive if they think they can change their lives at a certain midnight. There is no magic about it. Just another midnight, that's it. I find it strange that people make all these New Year resolutions and promise themselves to start going to the gym or eat healthy food or learn Chinese. If you really want to do something, you should just go ahead. Why wait for a certain time of the year to do it?
Speaker C.
I think there are few holidays and celebrations which have such deep roots as New Year. In some countries, the traditions of celebrating New Year are not very old. But most European countries have been celebrating it for a long time indeed. I particularly like the story about how people started decorating fir trees. It's interesting that they used to be decorated with apples and sweets, but now we have beautiful ornaments made of glass.
Speaker D.
I have a pen friend in Russia, and she told me that New Year is the most important celebration in their culture. This is predominantly a family holiday. The whole family gathers together and enjoys good food while catching up on each other's news. They may play board games or sing songs or even go for a walk if weather permits. I think it's a wonderful tradition to spend this night with your nearest and dearest and being so close to them.
Speaker E. For me, Christmas is a family occasion, whereas New Year is just a time to do crazy things. Last year, I went to Lake Baikal and spent New Year with my friends, who are divers. We took a fir tree underwater and put some tinsel on our diving suits. That was amazing. This year, I'm going to be in Brazil for New Year. I'm going to dance on a Brazilian beach in a colorful long dress and then throw flower petals into the water. This will be truly unforgettable. Speaker F.
I think it is very important to do everything right when you're getting ready to celebrate New Year. As for me, I always try to find out exactly what food you need to cook or what color dress is recommended to wear to celebrate New Year. I think it's important to clean your house and decorate it and be in a very good mood on the 31st of December. Otherwise, the coming year may not turn out as lucky as you want it to be, and that's what I'm afraid of.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста 1. True. Какие не соответствуют 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано. То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Julie. Long time no see. How are things?
Oh, hi, Adam. I'm fine, thank you. And how about you?
The same. So, our summer holidays have just begun. What are you going to do this summer? Have you made any plans yet?
Well, I'm thinking of going to an art school, but I'm not sure. What do you think?
An art school? Are you interested in art? I didn't know that.
You see, I've always dreamed of learning to draw, but I never had enough time to take up drawing. This summer, I'm not going to work, and I've got a lot of time on my hands. So I thought it would be a nice opportunity for me to make my childhood dream come true.
Go ahead then. What's stopping you from doing it?
On one hand, an art school has a lot of experienced teachers who can explain to me the basics of drawing. On the other hand, an art school can turn out to be boring and rigid.
Well, you've definitely got a point there, Julie. Art is very personal, in my opinion. If you don't like the teachers or find the atmosphere there too academic, it can put you off drawing forever, and that's not what you want.
Adam, that's exactly what I mean. I believe art classes should encourage creativity and self-expression. At the same time, I do need some academic basics, don't I?
I don't know. You can start with some abstract art. It doesn't require any formal education. I've seen some fluid art pictures and abstract watercolor paintings. They are awesome.
Watercolors are just not my cup of tea. I'd rather start with graphics. It doesn't require any expensive materials. In fact, you can start with a drawing pad and some pens.
I haven't thought about it. Watercolor and fluid art materials do cost a fortune. Well, Julie, I think you should start with some proper classes then. If I were you, I'd call several art schools to find out if they offer the first class for free. At least you would see if the school atmosphere is suitable for you.
That's a great idea, Adam. Thank you so much for your suggestion.
If you find such a school, drop me a line and let me know about it. I may join you for your first class, if you don't mind. Who knows? Maybe we'll have an art exhibition for the two of us one day.
You are joking, Adam. I don't know how to draw at all. Okay, let's go to an art class together. We can share our impressions afterwards.
It's a date, then.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hi, Julie. Long time no see. How are things?
Oh, hi, Adam. I'm fine, thank you. And how about you?
The same. So, our summer holidays have just begun. What are you going to do this summer? Have you made any plans yet?
Well, I'm thinking of going to an art school, but I'm not sure. What do you think?
An art school? Are you interested in art? I didn't know that.
You see, I've always dreamed of learning to draw, but I never had enough time to take up drawing. This summer, I'm not going to work, and I've got a lot of time on my hands. So I thought it would be a nice opportunity for me to make my childhood dream come true.
Go ahead then. What's stopping you from doing it?
On one hand, an art school has a lot of experienced teachers who can explain to me the basics of drawing. On the other hand, an art school can turn out to be boring and rigid.
Well, you've definitely got a point there, Julie. Art is very personal, in my opinion. If you don't like the teachers or find the atmosphere there too academic, it can put you off drawing forever, and that's not what you want.
Adam, that's exactly what I mean. I believe art classes should encourage creativity and self-expression. At the same time, I do need some academic basics, don't I?
I don't know. You can start with some abstract art. It doesn't require any formal education. I've seen some fluid art pictures and abstract watercolor paintings. They are awesome.
Watercolors are just not my cup of tea. I'd rather start with graphics. It doesn't require any expensive materials. In fact, you can start with a drawing pad and some pens.
I haven't thought about it. Watercolor and fluid art materials do cost a fortune. Well, Julie, I think you should start with some proper classes then. If I were you, I'd call several art schools to find out if they offer the first class for free. At least you would see if the school atmosphere is suitable for you.
That's a great idea, Adam. Thank you so much for your suggestion.
If you find such a school, drop me a line and let me know about it. I may join you for your first class, if you don't mind. Who knows? Maybe we'll have an art exhibition for the two of us one day.
You are joking, Adam. I don't know how to draw at all. Okay, let's go to an art class together. We can share our impressions afterwards.
It's a date, then.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our daily program, Tips from Psychologists. Today in our studio, we have Lisa Black, PhD, the author of the international bestsellers, Parenting and Under Pressure. Hello, Lisa.
Good afternoon. It's great being here. Thank you for inviting me here today.
In your books, you speak about stress as a positive force. Why?
Basically, stress is what happens when people operate at the edge of their capacities. Think of weightlifting. You cannot build muscle unless you strain those muscles. Similarly, you cannot get smarter unless you are doing work that is uncomfortably difficult. Numerous research show that almost everyone who takes a new job that is hard feels stressed because of it. But 6 months later, they are better and smarter than they were 6 months prior. That means stress can actually do you good.
Why do modern people want their children to lead a stress-free life then?
You see, stress is good and healthy as long as it is neither too little nor too great. You don't want a stress-free environment for yourself or your children. You also don't want to be overwhelmed by stress. There is chronic stress. There is traumatic stress. There are forms of stress that are over a line that is no longer healthy. We've lost sight of that line, and we've lost sight of the true benefits of stress in terms of promoting growth and durability.
Do you have many teenagers who come to you because they suffer from stress and anxiety?
Well, I definitely have a lot of kids who come in and say that they have anxiety. I tell them that everybody has anxiety. That's how you cross the street without getting hit by cars. That's how you get your work done, because eventually, after watching Friends for the 100th time, you become sufficiently anxious about the work that you have to do that you turn it off and go do the work. Anxiety is what protects you from yourself and the world around you.
What's a healthy way for parents to respond when their kids are upset?
When teenagers feel that they are facing a problem, but it is not an actual crisis, there may be some room to play worst-case scenario. If a kid comes home and says, "There will be no one for me to sit with at lunch tomorrow," the parent can think through with the child. Let's say that happens. What would you do? The key thing in this is the tune, not the lyrics, for the parent. The tone in which they engage this conversation must be one of interest, yet comfort with the reality that their child may arrive at school and have no one to sit with at lunch. That's where the critical work gets done. Turning something that the child has declared unbearable into something that is merely a hassle.
How do parents help themselves not overreact?
Parents often have an idea that their children should not be uncomfortable. And if the child is uncomfortable, that has to be stopped. As well-meaning and loving as that is a fundamentally handicapping view of what it means to be human. The most durable human beings can tolerate a pretty high level of discomfort. They don't like it, but it doesn't frighten them. If you think about any hard work you've accomplished, it's not fun. We have to reject the idea that it's a problem for our kids to be uncomfortable. That is driving a lot of what's not working so well for our kids right now.
Thank you very much, Lisa. You've given our listeners plenty of useful information to think about.
Thank you.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our daily program, Tips from Psychologists. Today in our studio, we have Lisa Black, PhD, the author of the international bestsellers, Parenting and Under Pressure. Hello, Lisa.
Good afternoon. It's great being here. Thank you for inviting me here today.
In your books, you speak about stress as a positive force. Why?
Basically, stress is what happens when people operate at the edge of their capacities. Think of weightlifting. You cannot build muscle unless you strain those muscles. Similarly, you cannot get smarter unless you are doing work that is uncomfortably difficult. Numerous research show that almost everyone who takes a new job that is hard feels stressed because of it. But 6 months later, they are better and smarter than they were 6 months prior. That means stress can actually do you good.
Why do modern people want their children to lead a stress-free life then?
You see, stress is good and healthy as long as it is neither too little nor too great. You don't want a stress-free environment for yourself or your children. You also don't want to be overwhelmed by stress. There is chronic stress. There is traumatic stress. There are forms of stress that are over a line that is no longer healthy. We've lost sight of that line, and we've lost sight of the true benefits of stress in terms of promoting growth and durability.
Do you have many teenagers who come to you because they suffer from stress and anxiety?
Well, I definitely have a lot of kids who come in and say that they have anxiety. I tell them that everybody has anxiety. That's how you cross the street without getting hit by cars. That's how you get your work done, because eventually, after watching Friends for the 100th time, you become sufficiently anxious about the work that you have to do that you turn it off and go do the work. Anxiety is what protects you from yourself and the world around you.
What's a healthy way for parents to respond when their kids are upset?
When teenagers feel that they are facing a problem, but it is not an actual crisis, there may be some room to play worst-case scenario. If a kid comes home and says, "There will be no one for me to sit with at lunch tomorrow," the parent can think through with the child. Let's say that happens. What would you do? The key thing in this is the tune, not the lyrics, for the parent. The tone in which they engage this conversation must be one of interest, yet comfort with the reality that their child may arrive at school and have no one to sit with at lunch. That's where the critical work gets done. Turning something that the child has declared unbearable into something that is merely a hassle.
How do parents help themselves not overreact?
Parents often have an idea that their children should not be uncomfortable. And if the child is uncomfortable, that has to be stopped. As well-meaning and loving as that is a fundamentally handicapping view of what it means to be human. The most durable human beings can tolerate a pretty high level of discomfort. They don't like it, but it doesn't frighten them. If you think about any hard work you've accomplished, it's not fun. We have to reject the idea that it's a problem for our kids to be uncomfortable. That is driving a lot of what's not working so well for our kids right now.
Thank you very much, Lisa. You've given our listeners plenty of useful information to think about.
Thank you.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.